human friends.
And animal friends, too. If you are playing the podcast in your living room or something, and the cat or dog is listening,
don't let them hear it.
You're a good boy and or girl. Don't let them hear it. They'll get ideas. Happy birthday to you, Valerie.
Happy birthday to you, Randall.
And a happier who cares to each of us.
And a hearty who cares.
Thanks for joining us again on our podcast. Happy birthday, who cares?
Preeminent October 1st based podcast in the Western world.
The only podcast that I'm aware of that talks about October 1st every week. There it is. Do you think there are others out there?
Gosh, if they were, I would like to meet them.
Do you think there are other date-based podcasts where they talk about a specific date every week?
I bet there's like a Christmas-based podcast, if that counts.
If only we had a device or some sort of ability to look these things
some
up.
Some kind of directory we could look it up in.
Unfortunately, that doesn't exist, so no way to find it out. If you are a podcaster and you are doing a podcast about a date...
Any date.
You know, just to see what it's like. This is the example, I guess.
Maybe we can start a federation.
Yeah. Oh, that would be good. A network?
Yes, a network of date-based podcasts.
Network of date. Could you think of anything more banal than a date-based podcast network?
Yes.
No. How are you doing, Valerie? You feeling okay?
I'm doing all right. I'm having a rough day, but I'm doing A-okay.
Yeah, me too.
Let me just start by saying that life is awful and horrible and shitty and hard, and be nice to each other.
I think that's the takeaway from this podcast, if anything. Always be nice.
Be kind.
Yeah, be kind and also rewind.
How's it going for you?
Okay. I talked about my previous health issues. Those are still working. I got something going on in my gut. I reached out to the internet the other day to ask what people who have had problems with their gallbladder felt like, because I feel like that might be part of it.
Does that sound familiar?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's enough, close enough that I'm going to talk to the doctor and bring that up as a possibility.
Possible candidate.
Whether that's what it actually is or not, I don't know. And then tonight, I ate two pieces of pizza.
How are you feeling from that?
I feel perfectly fine. I don't feel odd at all.
Interesting.
It's usually quantity based.
As opposed to quality of food.
Yeah. I feel like if I had eaten a third pizza, it would have been...
Pizza.
Yeah. A third pizza. It would have been all bets are off.
Okay.
It would have been, you know, bad news.
Maybe your
body...
But
two pieces of pizza seems to be okay.
Maybe it's just trying to teach you moderation.
I don't know. Moderation, I mean, through organ failure.
Yeah. Through pain and suffering.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll not jump to conclusions or anything, but...
we'll keep you posted.
Yeah. If you're curious, follow me on Facebook and I'll talk about my health problems. We did just get back from another road trip, our second in four semi-vacation-y things that we're doing this summer, the summer of vacations. And that was our trip to Tacoma, Washington, where we saw the Super Junior first round Super Junior Cup.
New Japan Wrestling tournament.
New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yeah.
We mentioned this last week. It was really fun.
You had a good time?
I did.
I had a good time too.
Tacoma's a cute town.
Tacoma was a weird one. I don't think I knew what to expect about Tacoma.
Yeah, I think I thought it was more of just a suburb, like where the airport was or something.
My only impression of Tacoma was a quick drive-through that we did and seeing the dome on the side of the freeway. But it was very cute. If you live in Tacoma, let us know what it's like. I'm curious about Tacoma.
Slightly charmed by Tacoma.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we stayed in a hotel room and we went and ate junk food and we saw fun things in the day. So it wasn't like we had a regular
experience. Yeah, we were tourists.
But still.
It was a nice time.
It was very nice.
The tournament was super fun.
Yeah.
We got to see some real flippy shit, as they say, in the wrestling world.
It's Super Junior Cup, or Super J Cup. J is junior. Junior in this case means people who are lighter weight wrestlers, so they do more jumps and high-flying stuff.
Which is the kind I like.
There were some people from different promotions. There were some CMLL people there.
From Mexico?
Yeah, and there was a Ring of Honor guy there, and some independent people.
So there was American, Mexican,
yep.
Japanese, and possibly other.
Other,
But they were all, you know, super talented people. The place was sold out. The yep. audience was mega into it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see some of our favorites from the television, and our seats were good. And
we yeah, had our seats were really good. We had a front row balcony seat. I wasn't sure if that would work out, and it worked out great. I bought a lot of stuff.
A lot of merch.
I bought two t-shirts. I bought a towel, a decorative towel.
In Japanese wrestling, for whatever reason, they wave. I mean, I guess it's maybe like British football, soccer.
Like isn't they that wave more like a scarf?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah. So these towels, they look like scarves, but they're towels.
They're long towels.
People wave them around, and then sometimes as the match ends, the winner will come and like mop his brow on fans' towels.
Of that towel.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. The towel that we got is New Japan-y colors.
Just the generic New Japan.
It has the Lion Mark logo, and it has some words I don't know. I should probably look them up.
If you have been in Hot Topic in the last year or two, you will have seen a Bullet Club t-shirt. Bullet Club is another New Japan faction, but I think they had a Bullet Club towel as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't like guns, so.
Yeah, I have a Bullet Club pin and I don't wear it because I feel like I have to explain it.
Yeah, it's a little weird. A little weird right now.
The favorite piece of merch that I bought was a collection of very fancy pens.
And by very fancy, he just means like good quality
yeah.
Japanese writing pens, big yeah. ballpoint pens.
A very high quality ballpoint pen. But like, you know, it has a metal hinge for the clasp on the side as opposed to just being plastic. It's got a nice rubberized ergonomic
You're dying, handle. Dying to sign something with that Bullet yeah. Club pen.
I'm going to be signing all my professional documents for the rest of my life with a New Japan pin with a Bullet Club logo on the front of it.
I was told that they were going to have fans, like little handheld fans with all the wrestlers' faces on it.
Yeah.
I was hyped on that. Apparently, they didn't come in time because I did not get one.
Yeah. That would have been a neat piece of merch to have.
I mean, it would have been cheesy as hell, but it also would have been hilarious.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed those pens. No, I really enjoyed the whole thing. It was a lot of fun. We drank a lot of water. We sweat a lot.
Why do they need to know that?
I don't know. Don't know. Just
we're
like
staying
really,
hydrated.
Really feel like you were there. One of the most amazing things that happened while we were there, and you know this already if you follow either of us on Instagram, is as we were walking through a
like an antique mall.
Yeah, an antique mall. I overheard a person getting a haircut.
There was also a barbershop in this antique mall.
A person getting a haircut in the barbershop dropped their Instagram, and it just so happened to be a wrestler in the tournament.
Who is a member of Bullet Club, yeah, as it happens.
El Fantasmo, one of the real dirtbag wrestler.
And this was the sound you made when you heard that. You were like, oh!
Yeah, I had an audible gasp. And then Valerie was like, I'm going to take a picture. So she took a creep shot of him through the window and then forced us to go back in and say hi.
Like, let's go say hi.
And they were he was very nice.
I had no idea.
I guess he was very nice.
I had no idea who he was. And so I was just like, who knows? Maybe he'll be super psyched that somebody recognized him. But no, he's
a real asshole character.
Yeah, famous for being a real jerk.
Yeah, and I was wearing a shirt that
it's like
should theoretically piss him off.
It's like
it's
a spoof shirt of the Bullet Club he was wearing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I should have been given the business, according to kayfabe. And kind of, he was just a normal guy.
Yeah, he was like, whatever.
He was cool. Very nice. He was nice.
I felt like he was a little bit like, I'm a tough guy, but
yeah,
he couldn't drop the act completely.
Nah, it was somewhere in the middle. It wasn't as much as his persona in wrestling, but it was
just a dude,
just a guy. He ended up winning his match that we went to, and this is a spoiler, by punching his opponent in the crotch.
Yeah, that sounds like something he'd do
when the referee wasn't looking. So let that be a lesson to you.
Anywho. I also enjoyed the antiques in Tacoma. There's some really bitchin' stained glass there.
Yeah. Those stained glass, were they doors?
Windows.
They were windows?
Yeah.
Man, those were amazing.
They were from some like Pan Pacific Yukon something something exposition from 1909.
Oh, this is not just a regular window.
No,
this is
they were
was
like
made.
A special, I don't know what you call that, demo.
Does it make you want to make more stained glass when you see something like that?
It does. And I also took pictures of everything so I could have something to kind of study off of. Because the hardest part for stained glass for me is just figuring out the design and engineering of it. It's got some particular requirements and I'm just not super well versed in those yet.
It's just the kind of thing you have to look at more examples of how it's been done.
Yeah. Who does it well and why did it work?
While we were there, we also stopped in to a McMenamin's and that was full of stained glass as well.
Yeah. Most people who are not in the Pacific Northwest do not know McMenamin's, but they're a chain of hotels and restaurants around here that take generally old buildings, like old, if in this case it was an Elks Lodge or elementary schools or...
The one over by us is a mortuary. Mortuary, that's odd.
So they take these old buildings and they make them really retrofitted, very cool and...
Yeah, turn them into hotel spaces for the most part.
But anyway, it's sort of like the very super classed up version of TGI Fridays.
It's like tchotchkes that you don't hate.
Right.
Basically. But there was so much stained glass in this one. Is there always that much stained glass?
There's a fair amount.
Chandeliers and stuff?
Yeah, there's a fair amount.
Man.
They know how to decorate.
We should just go do a tour of them to see
what
kind of stuff. I know they have like special shit. Like you get a passport book and you can visit. This podcast is sponsored by McMenamin. No, I'm just kidding. You can get a passport book where you go to all the different ones and they give you stuff.
They give you a stamp and then if you complete them all, you get free drinks or something.
You get a t-shirt maybe. I don't know. You get to break a stained glass window in any of their establishments if you complete the book.
While we were up there, we also were able to hit Daiso.
Oh, yeah. Daiso. Does everyone know what Daiso is?
It's basically the Japanese dollar store.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. I think the cheapest thing we bought was maybe $1.50.
Yeah, I think most things there are $1.50. Yeah, it's all this, it's cool junk from Japan. It's all mass produced. Actually, probably a lot of it's made in China.
Yeah.
Regardless, though, it's usually well designed. They have a lot of like cool little kitchen gadgets and stuff. And we always end up buying stuff there.
I wish there were one closer to us. And if you, Daiso, are listening, we would love to have one in Portland.
Yeah.
Who is Mr. Daiso? Are you listening to this podcast?
Mr. and Mrs. Daiso.
If you want to reach out to us, as always, you can hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at HBWC Podcast. You can email us at happybirthdaywhocares@gmail.com, Grandpa. Or you can text or call us. That's really Grandpa. And leave a message. And the number is 501-420-4292. One day I'll get them memorized and I won't have to look at my notes. So Valerie, what is the event of the week? The week that occurred on October 1st.
In 1963, on October 1st, a guy named Mark McGuire was born.
Happy birthday, Mark McGuire.
I think he was a baseball player.
You think he was? I have some information to tell you
about
him.
Please tell me.
Let me tell you. Mark David McGuire, as he was born, as you previously mentioned, on October 1st in 1963, he was nicknamed Big Mac.
Okay.
And he played first base from 1986 to 2001 for the Oakland Athletics.
Hooray!
And also the St. Louis Cardinals.
Boo.
No, they're all right. He won one World Series championship with Oakland in 1989. Mark McGuire was one of the most prolific home run hitters.
Wait, 1989, was that the Bay Bridge World Series?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's the one.
That's when the earthquake happened.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, go on.
Yeah. He was one of the most prolific home run hitters in baseball history, and he's the former record holder for the most home runs in a single season with 70 in 1998, to be later beaten by Barry Bonds.
This is my impressed face.
Yeah, I see it. And he had also the record for most home runs hit by a rookie with 49 in 1987, but also that record has been beaten since as well. He's only one of three major league players with 450 home run seasons alongside Babe Ruth. You've heard of that guy.
I've heard of him.
And Sammy Sosa.
Sosa.
I know.
Even I know that.
H in there. I don't know where that came from. And he's only one of five baseball players in the major league history to hit at least 200 career home runs with two different teams. And that's who that is. Mark McGuire. Happy birthday, our buddy, birthday buddy, Mark McGuire.
Right on, my dude.
Is it possible he's listening to this podcast?
It's possible.
Anything's possible, I suppose. I went to that World Series.
You did?
I did. I went to the first game of that World Series in Oakland, if I remember correctly.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah. My grandfather on my dad's side, Grandpa Clyde, was a longtime season ticket holder to the A's. And he would take me to a lot of games when I was growing up. And that year, he had, as a season ticket holder, he had the rights to his seats, plus some additional seats he was able to buy. So his seats, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but they were the first row right behind the dugout on the first base side.
Damn.
Yeah. So like you literally walk down, touch the dugout, turn right, and his seats were like 6 or 7 in, which kind of spoiled me for for sporting events as a kid. I would go, he would take me with him. He would be like, did you get anything to eat today? And I'd of course say no, because I wanted to have whatever was available at the baseball
field. All snacks available.
And he would say, here you go. And he'd hand me a 20 or maybe a 50.
Damn.
He's a roller. And then I'd go get that and I'd come hang out. And he would show up at about the 3rd or 4th inning, totally fucking sloshed.
You mean like having gone to the bar?
Yeah. He'd go hang out at the bar for like 3 innings and then come in and we'd watch like till the 6th or 7th inning. We'd get up and get out, you know? You want to take that break now?
Yeah, gotta take a break.
Okay.
I'm making cakes.
All right. Should I keep vamping or should I, we hit pause?
It's up to you.
I'm going to wait for you to come back so I can tell you the story.
Okay, pause.
So Grandpa would come back down to the seats about 3rd inning or 4th inning maybe. He'd be pretty drunk. Then at about the 7th inning or so, he'd be like, well, this game's over. Let's get out of here so we can beat traffic. So he'd only be there for like 3 or 4 innings. And like most of the time, I'd just be like, okay.
He knew how to keep it interesting.
Yeah. A few times I would go like, I'll just go home via the BART or whatever.
Yeah. You want to stay?
Yeah. In that World Series game, he sold the front row tickets behind the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
He said he sold them for $1,000 each or something. And at the time, I think that was more than what
you could comprehend
the season tickets cost.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, I made more money on the tickets for the year than what I paid. And I was like, well, that sounds like a good deal. But he also got then, I think, two other sets of seats. And one of them he kept for himself to take me to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all the way up the top section and in the worst area, like as far away from home plate as you could get.
I have been to concerts at that stadium and it is blows.
As we were walking up there, he's just like, I didn't realize how far back these were. Like you could see him getting more and more pissed off the more. And Grandpa was often somewhat pissed all the time. But like as we're walking up, he's just like, fucking, oh my God, I can't believe this. And at this one, he did not go get drunk, but he was ready to leave at about the 3rd inning.
Oh,
he's just
man.
Like, I think I'd rather go watch this on the TV. And so he left and I just stayed and I watched the rest of the game by myself.
That's some classic latchkey kid right there.
I watched it and I took a BART back to, I think it was Grandma's house after that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got to see a World Series game.
That's pretty cool.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
I went to a lot of games when I was a kid, and I miss not having a baseball team here in Portland. I hope that they do get one.
I know you're very nostalgic about it.
Yeah, baseball's fun to eat snacks and sit around. Other than that, I don't really care so much.
I think that's the trick of most sports watching that outsiders don't really get. It's not really that you're just hanging on every move in the game. It's that you're hanging out.
You're talking with your friends.
Yeah, you're hanging out with people and you're occasionally having something to talk about on the screen or in front of you.
Yeah, you're eating a nacho. Mm-hmm. You're eating a tiny sundae, fudge sundae served in a baseball hat.
It's an excuse for junk food.
It is really like these people are athletes in front of you, but you are the slothliest person possible, right? Speaking of sloths and eating junk food, as soon as I read this first article where it reminded me his nickname was Big Mac, all I could think was how great it would be to have a Big Mac. Like, Big Macs are my favorite.
So if McDonald's starts having an Impossible Burger or Beyond Burger, you're gonna go straight there.
Oh God. Yeah, yeah. Is Big Mac your favorite hamburger sandwich?
I gotta say, of all the fast classically foods? I haven't had one in probably decades now, but classically, yes, it was.
How long ago was that? I had one not too long ago, about a month ago. They're just as good as you remember.
Well, because they're so fake. They're like sweet,
yeah,
hydrogenated bread and freeze-dried onions. And
the bread is like a cupcake. The sauce inside is like the sweetest Thousand Island you've ever had in your life.
And the meat isn't even recognizable as meat. It's just like salty, savory something.
Yeah, and the cheese. Man, Big Mac's the best. I'd love to know if anyone agrees with me or disagree with me.
Oh, what on the best?
Yeah, on what the best burger or fast food item is.
But would you say that?
It's a easy number one. It's like, really? Number one by like 5 or 6%. Yeah, I don't know what that means. I was trying to figure out, like, it's by 20 degrees number one, but it's like number one by a long shot. Number two is a tough one. What's number two?
I did go through a phase where I worked near Burger King, and then also I used to take Greyhound buses to see my parents a lot, and there was a Burger King in the bus station. So I have some weirdly nostalgic memories about Whoppers, too.
That Whopper smell.
Yeah, and just slathering of mayonnaise and just,
yeah,
they're disgusting but good.
So Whopper is number two.
I guess so.
What about like an In-N-Out burger or animal fries?
Well, it kind of, it's not really in the same place in my head because I didn't have an In-N-Out burger until probably 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, In-N-Out burgers, not in the same realm. Let's keep it to the low class fast food places. My number two is Wiener Schnitzel Chili Cheese Dog.
Randall, for sure. I don't know if I ever mentioned this because I know how much you like Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh God.
I've never eaten anything from one.
I forgot to do an audible surprise. I just made it. Just made a look. You don't need to.
Just wanted you to know.
I appreciate you finally revealing
it. I will be forever ignorant.
We could go.
Nope.
Nope. Never. There's none around here, so it doesn't matter. It's moot. Moot point.
Moot. I know people still make jokes about the McDLT. Do you ever have one?
I don't think I ever did.
It's where they put the burger on one side and the lettuce toppings and tomato on the other side so they wouldn't get all mushy. And
the only question I have about that, I know exactly what it is, and I remember the commercial with Jason Alexander.
Yes, that's right.
Did they cook the bun?
No, I think the bun was just fresh.
So was both sides of the bun fresh, or was one side of the bun hot and one side of the bun's cool?
I'm pretty sure the cool side was cool, and I'm guessing they were both cool.
Because of that, I don't trust it.
I've never made a note of how toasted or not toasted the bun is.
I'll tell you because I've looked.
Oh, okay. Let's defer to the expert.
A bun in a Big Mac is definitely toasted.
Is it really, though?
Mm-hmm.
I think they come out that way.
You think they're fake toasted?
I do.
Fake toasted and warmed.
I do.
But I've seen, like, keep the cold side cold and the hot side hot. One side has half the bun and the other side has half the bun.
Yeah, and they were good. It's just the packaging was an unholy nightmare.
Basically destroying the planet.
Yeah.
Any other fast food thoughts you have? How about that Impossible Whopper? We had one of those.
Yeah, so I like the Impossible Burger. I like the Beyond Burger. The Impossible Whopper was kind of gross.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, it might have been because we went to the most depressing Burger King I've ever been to.
Yeah, nothing good was coming out of
that
Burger King.
And that's really saying something.
We were in the Burger King and there were people, you said, were parceling out laundry detergent?
Yeah, like they had stolen a case of laundry detergent. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm saying stolen, but I'm guessing that it was stolen and then they were going to resell it.
That's interesting.
It was a very methy crowd. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And the burger was not great. It was, well, a little charcoal-y for me anyway. I just remembered that we're in the middle of chicken sandwich mania right now in this country as well. Popeye's chicken sandwich has kicked down the door and thrown their gauntlet at the feet of Chick-fil-A, who can go to hell.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A can rot.
That sandwich rocked. I loved it.
The Popeye sandwich?
Oh my God, it was good.
It was pretty good.
The spoiler is Popeye's is pretty good anyway. So
I remember when you moved here, you were like, oh, Popeye's.
Yeah. Blah, blah. Through like my whole life, I always lived in this world where Popeye's was kind of gross.
I think.
And KFC was good.
It's because you come from racists.
Oh, yeah.
Racists who live in Alameda and are afraid of Oakland.
Where was a Popeye's chicken? And there was none in Alameda. There was a KFC in Alameda.
Yeah, because that's for nice white people.
Yeah. Man, I have another childhood story of KFC, but I'm going to save that one for later. We've talked about fast food too much.
Are we going to talk about Mark McGwire and or baseball?
Why would we do that?
I really want to talk about Jose Canseco.
Okay, he's a giant weirdo. Let's just get that out of the way right now. It's very possible maybe possibly likely that somehow this information that we talked about Jose Canseco on this podcast will get back to Jose Canseco.
Hey, Jose.
So I would love to have him on as a guest to talk about everything around, just bag on Mark McGwire for a while.
Can you explain the relationship between Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire?
They were the Bash brothers. So they were both teammates on the Oakland A's, mm-hmm. and they were home run hitters. And the rumor is, I guess it was this was in Jose Canseco's book, that they did steroids together as well. If you'd like to see a good representation of it, you could watch the unauthorized Bash Brothers experience by Lonely Island on Netflix. That's a pretty good example.
I don't know if it was unauthorized because I've got a picture right here of the Lonely Island and
with Jose Canseco
on stage.
I guess, are those guys from the Bay Area? The Lonely Island?
Andy Samberg is, yeah.
Oh, the rest of those guys? Don't know.
Don't know.
That's pretty funny.
I'd like to read you some of
Jose Canseco's tweets.
Maybe I should not think of them as wackadoo and more think of them as
creative,
subtle, and profound.
Before you read any of them, did he one day tweet about wanting to fight Bigfoot or find Bigfoot?
Oh, yes. So, let's see. July 22nd of this year. I am a Bigfoot expert, and the most famous Bigfoot picture or video ever taken was a costume. The individual wearing the costume was none other than Andre the Giant. Check it out. Also, there is zero punctuation in that paragraph.
Did you know Andre the Giant wore a Bigfoot suit in The
Six
Bionic
Million
Man?
Man? Yeah, I did know that.
Maybe he's confusing that and that Zapruder-esque film of Bigfoot walking through the woods. Maybe that's what he's thinking of. What else? Do we have any other good ones?
He also says, human beings should not create artificial intelligence. Human beings are flawed. Only artificial intelligence can create artificial intelligence, and so on and so on. It will take generations of artificial intelligence to get it right. Then artificial intelligence will work.
That I believe. He's 100% correct on that one. I'm on Team Jose for that.
He also says, okay, let me just read a couple.
Yeah.
In 27 years, 6 months, 7 days, 6 hours, this was on July 18th, humanity will change greatly.
Okay.
That's all he says in that one.
But no information as to how or
no.
why.
Next tweet is, cloning will also be legal within 30 years once artificial intelligence starts decimating the human population.
Well, okay, so is he on board team artificial intelligence or not?
I think he's just resigned. Resigned to the fact of our future.
He's like Nostradamus of our time.
Here's what he says about what will happen under artificial intelligence.
Okay.
The reality is that once artificial intelligence takes over, the population will drop by 20% in 5 years. They will not allow any more humans to be born with any mental or physical handicaps, only those that artificial intelligence could benefit from.
So basically he read like some sort of Brave New World or something, and then he decided to write about it. Is that what you're telling mm-hmm. me? That's what you're telling me.
And then
me.
He breaks into Bigfoot, and then he breaks back yeah. back to artificial intelligence.
Occasionally, he'll want to fight someone.
Mm-hmm.
He occasionally will accuse A-Rod of cheating on J-Lo. That'll happen.
That's yeah. a really interesting thing to get upset about.
Yeah, I don't know why he's so he's so into calling out A-Rod. He wants to fight him, I think, for reals.
I was wondering, like, you know, because he and Madonna dated back mm-hmm. in those days, and I was wondering what she would have to say about him, but I bet their relationship was just like a, hush, honey, take off your pants.
Yeah, I mean, you saw him. You see a picture of him. he's a mammoth of a dude.
He's not my cup of tea, but he's a manly man.
Yeah, he's a manly dude. If Jose Canseco can get back to us, though, that would be pretty great.
Well, you know what? Here's another tweet that says, if anyone wants to play me in a heads-up poker match for $1,000, please contact Morgan at 702-374-3735. Maybe we should call Morgan.
I don't have $1,000 to spend. I'm going to lose. I would lose to Jose Canseco.
But don't you want to know who Morgan is?
It's got to be his manager, right?
I'm going to call and get back to you.
The other player that's super connected to Mark McGwire in this kind of era was Sammy Sosa, as you know, I mentioned. Mm-hmm. They were in that home run race to see who would break the record and who would win, you know. Have you seen a picture of Sammy Sosa these days?
No, I don't know what he looks like. Wow.
So I know this is not a video podcast, but if you could just stop what you're doing real quick and do a search for Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa transformation.
He's
lightened his skin,
it looks like. His skin significantly and possibly changed his hair.
I mean, you know, he's entitled to do whatever he wants to do, but it is really... it is striking.
Yeah. Stop what you're doing. Check this out. I have no explanation for it, but
we'll post a picture on Instagram.
How did that? Do you think he did that? Or do you think that is some sort of...
I'm pretty sure that doesn't happen on its own. Oh, yeah. He's starting to look like... kind of get a Liberace look about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's starting to sound like I'm really into Liberace. I keep mentioning him. But
every week we get a Liberace mention.
If you have a chance, you should definitely see Behind the Candelabra. It's a great movie.
I agree. That was a good one. As we mentioned, steroids in this whole conversation around Mark McGwire and the home run race in baseball. And then there was, of course, a controversy around it. And I have some information about it if you'd like to hear it. Do you remember Balco?
No.
Balco was the Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative. They were like the nutrition center that was at the crux of all of the steroid scandal stuff that happened. And they were accused of distributing steroids to Major League Baseball players. And it caused Major League Baseball to change their drug policy to actually test for steroids. They had not tested for steroids prior to this discovery. And as a result... they threw out some minor-ass suspensions. Like, the worst suspension was 10 days for these performance-enhancing drugs. So Congress got upset. They held a panel.
Oh, thanks, Congress. Yeah.
They argued that the penalties were not tough enough, and they called players like Jose Canseco, as previously mentioned, A-Rod, as also previously mentioned, Rafael Palmeiro, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and Curt Schilling, who was actually a outspoken opponent of steroids, to testify. I guess the idea is that baseball is a legal monopoly in the United States. And as such, Congress has a sort of mission to police it.
Yeah, who cares? Weird, right?
Well, you know.
Who gives a fuck?
Also, their secondary thing was that... children were dying from trying to use performance-enhancing drugs to replicate their sports heroes. So, of course, they had to do something about it.
What about the children, Randall?
What about the children? During the session, the congressional testimony, Canseco admitted to steroid use, which he claimed were perfectly acceptable during the 80s and 90s because they were not illegal.
He has an excellent point.
Rafael Palmeiro denied all steroid use during his career. Remember that. And while Mark McGwire refused to discuss the issue, he actually said that he would probably be considered guilty no matter what he said, which is his reasoning. There was a real quote that they played a lot, I remember at the time, and it was, "I'm not here to talk about the past," is what he said over and over again. The classic non-denial denial, right? Going back to Rafael Palmeiro real quick, he was listed in Jose Canseco's book as one of the major users of steroids. He denied Canseco's claims and told Congress that they were basically bullshit. But it turns out that 5 months after the congressional hearing, it came out that Palmeiro had actually already tested positive for steroids and knew it, when he spoke before Congress. Wah, wah, wah.
Canseco was smart to be the only one to cash in on this.
Seriously, like, he copped to it and
brought people, everybody down with him.
Yeah, like, for reals. But, like, the only way you could get forgiveness for something like that is being like, I did it, you know? And it was, a lot of people were doing it, and it was just the thing people were doing at the right time. There was no rule against it.
All you'd have is a minor public relations problem.
Right. I mean, I think accepting it and being, asking for forgiveness is the only, of course, he didn't really ask for forgiveness. He's more like, yeah, I did it. It was okay.
I'd do it again.
Yeah. Those guys, they really changed baseball. Like, during that time, baseball went from being this kind of pudgy kind of players. Like, people didn't look like super athletes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they were these super muscle men in the way that basically football players or other big men sports things. It was a weird change because some of the pudgy people were still playing at the time. That's funny. What's your take on performance-enhancing drugs or steroids or human growth hormone, things like that?
I think that basically the people should be able to do what they want with their bodies.
Yeah.
And that is without limit, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I get it that they're trying to have an even playing field, quote unquote, but I don't think an even playing field really exists with or without steroids.
Isn't an even playing field with everyone given the same access to those things?
Yeah.
As opposed to some people being able to cheat their way around it?
Right. That's why I don't think it's really very even.
I feel like under a doctor's supervision, any of these things should be possible for the most part. Like, I would love to take human growth hormone and whatever. Like, I want to be a Superman running around.
Yeah.
Like, if you could do it safely without dying of a heart attack because of your enlarged heart at 35 or whatever.
You know what? Even if you want to do it and push it to the limit and die from it, that's kind of your prerogative. But I mean, I guess I'm a bad person to ask because I don't know how to keep a team sport, quote unquote, fair. I don't know what that means. I don't know what fair competition means. To me, it's all just like people are going to do whatever they can to win.
The team with the most money.
Yes, the most money, the most trainers, the most opportunity.
Yeah, everything. Baseball is a weird duck compared to other sports because they don't have as much money sharing, you know? Like, competition is kind of held in check in basketball and football by these profit-sharing schemes so that no team has that much more money than the other team.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Right. Also, they have, like, salary limits, right? But baseball, not so much. Baseball, the big market teams have way more money. It's almost like two levels of competition. And if I'm totally wrong, by the way, this is all based on old knowledge that I have. Things have changed since then. Don't correct me. I don't care whatsoever.
I want to know.
But that's my entire perception of the difference between, like, baseball teams. You could see, like, one team will get, like, the Yankees will win for years and years and years because they have their own television station, you know, things like that. But in football, it's real hard to put together a series of championships from one team.
I can't spend too much of my intellectual energy on this just because I feel like it's such a massive waste of resources. You know, and talent.
It's just as useless as any other form of entertainment. It's just to sell advertising.
I guess that's what it is. You and know? Maybe that's one of the reasons why I've started to embrace professional wrestling, because it's less of a, you know, oh, we're very serious and this is an honorable competitive sport, and more of just a performance art, and just call it what it is.
Because sports has that couching of whatever sport, the honor of sport.
Blah.
It's kind of dumb. Yeah. If you're a sport fan, I like sports too, but
that's great. But it's sports so you can see the finest physical specimens on earth.
Yeah.
Is it to see people have fun? Is it what thing is it? Is it eugenics in action? I mean,
is it because your team has the right color?
Right.
The color red or blue or something? And you, I don't know.
Every single one of these qualities is completely arbitrary and bullshit in my mind.
There is only one thing it circles back to: which team has the best nachos?
No, which team has the best
cotton candy?
Mascot.
Which mascot? We've talked about mascots ad nauseum.
Oh, sorry. You're right. We have.
We can't get back into it. So, but we can't talk about nachos.
And but I'm sorry, we won't.
All I can think about is nachos now. Let's just close out
some nice yellow cheese podcast. Nachos.
I like the phony bologna nachos.
Yes, I know that about you.
I don't hate the real nachos. I just prefer the phony kind.
But you know, you said that, and I've known you to go and be like, I'm getting 7-Eleven nachos. And yes. And then you get them, and you're
These are
sorely
horrible.
Disappointed.
Yeah. It's like some sort of blind spot memory that I have for those kind of things, along with probably the previously mentioned Big Mac mm-hmm. and chili cheese dog. It's just like some sense memory
yeah.
that you got.
For me, it's like it's the way I miss ramen or just like buttered rice.
Yeah. But when's the last time you had ramen and was it delicious?
It was really good for the first two bites.
Yeah. That's really the truth of those fake nachos, too. Like chip one and two, you're like, oh, that's good. And then you're like, oh, this is like paste.
This is not real food.
I'm eating some sort of spackling material. This is not good.
Oh, Randall.
Mm. The drug use in sports. Did you ever see that SNL sketch of the all-drug Olympics where Phil Hartman plays a weightlifter who stands up and just rips his arms completely off? That was the first time I wrote that down.
That sounds pretty good.
In response to what its sponsors claim is an idea whose time has come, the first all-drug Olympics opened today in Bogota, Colombia. Athletes are allowed to take any substance whatsoever before, after, and even during the competition. So far, 115 world records have been shattered. We go now to correspondent Kevin Nealon, live in Bogota, for the weightlifting finals. Kevin.
Dennis, getting ready to lift now is Sergei Akhmudov of the Soviet Union. His trainer has told me that he's taken anabolic steroids, Novocaine, NyQuil, Darvon, and some sort of fish paralyzer. Also, I believe he's had several cocktails within the last hour or so. All of this, of course, is perfectly legal at the All-Drug Olympics. In fact, it's encouraged. Akhmudov is getting set now. He's going for a clean and jerk of over 1,500 pounds, which would triple the existing world record. That's an awful lot of weight, Dennis, and here he goes.
The other thought that came to mind was the Marvel comic book Super Boxers. Did you ever read Super Boxers?
Oh, that was the one where Bill Sienkiewicz did the cover.
Yeah, Bill Sienkiewicz cover for sure, but the rest of the artists I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I never read those, but I remember gazing at the cover.
It was when Marvel Comics made just one-off graphic novels for a while.
Right.
It's set in a future where there are Super Boxers. End of story.
Is it a rollerball kind of running man kind of future?
It is kind of like this weird sort of have and have nots future where people are boxing with these super suits on. And then there's a subplot where this guy is like a great boxer, but he's going to fight like the person who's got all the technology advantage in the world. It's very much a ripoff of the plot to Rocky 3, I guess. It's kind of a ripoff of the plot to Rocky 3 with called Drago. But in it, they basically are just pumped full of drugs as they're fighting so they can just go ape shit on each other through the match.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm like,
do it.
Let's see that match. I want to see that. The other thought I had was I was thinking about The Expanse,
uh-huh.
where they decided that like faster than light travel is possible, but also they have to pump you through drugs to keep you alive while it's happening.
That makes perfect sense to me.
That's one of those really good science fiction thoughts that I'm surprised no one came up with
right
prior to this. I don't remember ever seeing a science fiction where they're in these spaceships doing these crazy maneuvers going, oh yeah, you're going to need to pump them full of adrenaline. Otherwise their heart's going to stop or whatever. That was a really smart idea. And those books are great.
I mean, we're already living in a reality where pharmaceuticals are getting you through. Not everybody, not all the time, but they're here to get you through.
As I once said to Max.
Max, your son?
My son, our son Max. Uh-huh. I said, I do drugs every goddamn day of my life.
And you like it.
That's the truth. That's the truth. I do. I take a drug every day.
Whatever.
What's the like final conclusion of this podcast today? Is it drugs are great?
Drugs are good.
Okay.
Mental health is fragile, so be nice.
Be nice to each other. Go get a Big Mac if you want. No one's going to judge.
Bigfoot was probably Andre the Giant.
Definitely. I don't prescribe to that.
Artificial intelligence is coming within the next 30 years.
Okay. Jose Canseco, please reach out to us. But not for real, because I'm real scared of it.
Oh, I'll talk to him. Okay. If he calls, I'll talk to him.
Okay, great. If we get a phone call on the HBWC hotline from Jose Canseco, we will definitely play it on the show. And this podcast is sponsored by Jose Canseco.
And Randall will lose his goddamn mind.
I think that's it. I think that's a good conclusion.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Take off your guess and let go your stress. Cause the classiest shit is what comes next. Silkworms and kimonos. Silkworms.